Mexico did chalk up one clear accomplishment this year. It hosted a global conference on climate change, which exceeded expectations. Last year's climate summit in Copenhagen produced lots of friction and only a weak agreement. Now, Mexico is getting much of the credit for getting the negotiations back on track in Cancun. Derwood Zelke is the president of the Washington-based Institute for Governance and Sustainable Development. He applauds Mexico's decision to send its foreign minister, Patricia Espinoza, to lead the summit.
The power in international negotiations is usually in the Foreign Office. So I think this is an indication that Mexico took this as such a serious international diplomatic challenge that they gave it to their top diplomat, as opposed to just leaving it in the hands of the environmental minister. I think picking them as the leader was absolutely the right move here.
Mr. Zelke, why do you think Mexico was so serious about this round of negotiations? I mean, up until now, they haven't taken an especially strong stand on climate issues, unlike, say, last year's host, Denmark.
Well, I think they looked at what happened in Denmark, and they looked at what many people thought was the failure of diplomacy there. And they said, we have to show the world that we can do better for multilateralism. Mexico's in an interesting position because they're a developing country, but they're also a developed country. They straddle these divisions. And they were able to show to the developing countries the kind of leadership and transparency that brought them in, and also to the developed countries to show that they were willing to be pragmatic and take incremental progress forward without having to get the total success that Copenhagen was aiming for.
You know, it's interesting that right now the two main figures in this international climate negotiation process are Latin American women, Patricia Espinoza of Mexico and Cristina Figueres of Costa Rica, who took over this year as the head of the whole UN process. Do you see any significance in that?
Well, I think it's significant that we have two such talented people. The fact that they happen to be women may be a coincidence, and maybe not. Maybe there's a greater diplomatic skill in this case. And these two women have demonstrated throughout their entire career, you know, the absolute best of diplomacy. So coincidence maybe, but a fortuitous one for the world to have such talented people who can work so well together. A lot of this is backroom diplomacy and being able to talk candidly and with trust between these two folks, very, very important to the agreement.
Well, apparently a lot of people think it helped. Remind us what was agreed to in Cancun.
The things that were agreed to were largely procedural, and they included a fund, and what was agreed was the architecture for the funding mechanism, also technology transfer architecture, and we anchored the Copenhagen Accord pledges in this agreement as well. The pledges will get us to about 60% of the mitigation that the world needs by 2020. Now, if you look at this as a glass half full, you say, this is a very good initial step. If you look at the glass that's half empty, you say, where are we going to get the other 40%?
And do you think it's a sign of how bad things are off with these climate negotiations that a procedural success is viewed now as a major success?
Well, the parties all showed their willingness to negotiate. They all showed their willingness to make concessions to get to the next step. And if we hadn't done this, this could have been the death of multilateralism for climate change, and indeed for many other issues. So what we got was basically a get-out-of-jail card from Copenhagen here. So this optimism and momentum is absolutely essential for getting to the binding agreement.
Derwood Zelke, president of the Institute for Governance and Sustainable Development in Washington, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.